asked you before, but then over a period of time, this Kali Yuga memory is very bad. Can I ask you now?
Padmanabhan.
Hope I remember sometimes. So different. Anand Padmanabhan temple is very close to our heart, so I hope I remember in that connection. Okay, I welcome all of you. And did you all read the topic which was sent in the email? Today's topic is the opportune movement, moment. So, have you heard of this before? Do we use this word opportune movement? Wow, so simple.
Chance.
So simple, because I wanted to ask that, have you thought of this thing in your life? Have any one of you already come across such opportune moment? Or sometimes we wait for these moments in our life. So, okay. Who has heard about this phrase, opportune moment? Okay, Lakshmi. Okay, can you, one of you can try and explain what does it mean?
The moment that you can wait for.
The moment? We're waiting for.
Yeah, so that you can do something.
Yeah, you can do something, right? Anything you want to say, Paul?
Is it something similar to opportunity?
Yes, opportunity.
It's similar to the tiger looking for its prey.
Yeah. So opportunity, you are waiting eagerly basically. There are a lot of opportunities we always look forward in life, but something is very special which we're just waiting because we think that it's going to be of big advantage or some gain to us, and that moment can make a difference in our life, and that's what is exactly the word opportune moment means. Okay, you might not be aware of this phrase or might not be using it much, but I'm sure all of us have got some moments like this in our life, or we wait or we dream of such moments in our life. Do we or no? Yeah? So anybody has got any such experience of such moments which you came across in your life which made a change and you're very happy? Something for your advantage or something?
Or PhD.
Huh?
Defense.
The day, huh? Defense PhD.
I did not defense. I'm reading the thesis.
And you finish your thesis, done.
Done.
No, for me it was picking my date of defense.
Date of?
Defense. Defending my PhD. Because okay. If I did it a little later or a little earlier, my advisor might change his mind or do something crazy.
Okay. Right, so basically now it's like concentration on your PhD, whatever makes you get through it. Right? Okay. Anything else? Try and remember before you were trying to get into this university or PhD.
You mean past opportunities?
Yes. Any past. I'm talking of past any such opportunity which you were waiting for and you got it.
I consider the component of we have been waiting for like 6-7 months for the offer letter, and then finally it came one day. Then I was very excited.
Yes.
So that created the scholarship. So then,
yeah. Just to clarify, aren't you asking for a moment where you grab the opportunity?
You came across, then whether you grabbed or not is a different secondary thing, yeah. But okay. That are the opportune movements which we are waiting for. If you are waiting for, definitely we are going to jump over it. If we're going to grab it, right? But it has to that you were waiting for something, right?
Prasadam.
Very good. We wait for prasadam. But that opportune moment comes very regularly in your life. So maybe that's why it doesn't...
Convocation.
Yes. So we come across many things depending on what we desire to have in our life, right? We always have that, I want to get something. So at one stage in our life, we have some particular goal, right? Getting into PhD, getting that letter of offer in your hand. That comes, we say, yes, I have made it. That is a feeling which we get in our life, right? Then you are here. Then, does that happiness of what you came here continues to be the same? It wears off very soon. Because very soon you come to the reality that it is not as easy as you thought of. This PhD is really going to take a big deal on you, and then you wait for the defense date, right? And then you get your PhD. So once you got your PhD, then what happens? Yes, ask Pratap Prabhu. Okay, then you wait for a good job. What happens, what I want to make a point is, you always wait for such moments to come in life. They come, we get it. They may or may not come, but if they come, we get it. But only thing that initially from far we saw something which is really going to give us happiness. That moment, if it just comes, if I just get into this opportunity, into this university. After some time when we have got it, then if I just get something more, these moments keep on going away and away and away, right? And the happiness that we have got is very short lasting, and then something else follows. It just keeps. So we are always waiting for these moments to come, and they keep on going, and then the pleasure derived from it is very different. So the definition of this is that it's getting or occurring of a time which is very suitable. We think it's very suitable or advantageous to us because it will bring us some happiness. And we are just waiting to grab it because we think that we are going to get some higher or achieve some higher purpose in our life. Right? So we talked about this. Now I just want to go through some basic understanding of our life to come to that point that why are we talking about these opportune moments? There are different types of are the living entities. You all know, right, that the trees also are living entities. They also have life, right? Then animals also have life, humans also have life. Is there a difference? Obviously there is a difference. What to ask about it, right? Then how to explain that? Basic philosophy or basic understanding, very simply, if you want to simplify, is that the level of consciousness which is in this all living entities is different. And that is divided from lower to higher into five basic level of consciousness. First is called as, okay, you all have read this, right? A person who misses his opportunity and a monkey who misses a branch cannot be saved. If you see this picture, he could have decided a while ago where to land. Looking at the crocodile, he thought maybe it's not a safe place to land there. So he thought he should land in the water. But how? When he comes down, he realizes that that's the worst decision he could have done. Because the crocodiles are most strong in the water. Right? So sometimes we make some decisions in life, and a while later we realize either it was a right decision or a wrong decision. But many a times, taking a step back is not easy. If I just ask you a question, that if today you are given an opportunity that you can revert back, also when we look at a movie, rewinding is possible. We rewind and then we can start somewhere else. So if rewinding is possible in our life, and if an opportunity is given, we can go back few years, again think over it with using this experience of ours today, and then take the decision and then live our life. That's called as reliving our life or years of our life. Is there anybody here who would take a different direction and would like to change the direction than what we had done few years ago somewhere? Is there anybody who thinks that we could have lived our life? So if an opportunity of reliving is given, maybe we are going to adjust our gears. I would say most of us. But is it possible? It's not possible, right? But the intelligent person is who we know that this is a shortcoming, we cannot revise or rewind back, but learn from that, and at least next step we take with some more intelligence. So this is a philosophy I was talking about, that there are five basic levels. The lowest is called as avritta consciousness or covered consciousness. Okay, the trees are completely conscious, they are also alive, but their consciousness is much lower. How? They cannot move, they cannot talk. If you pinch them, if you cut them, it's not that they don't get pain, they also get pain, but it is much lower than what the pain an animal will get when you beat or cut the throat of that animal. There is a big difference. A higher level than avruta is called as sankuchita consciousness, which is higher little bit, but it is shrunken. Termed as shrunken consciousness. They are higher, they have more developed consciousness, and they can do the basic activities of life in a better way, like animals, tigers. They can eat in a better way, they can sleep in a better way, much better choices they can take in life than trees. Okay, but this level of species, or basically the animals fall into this category, they live with instinct. I'm sure we all have seen Discovery channels and all those National Geographic channel. When an animal like a tiger or lion is just sitting doing nothing, suddenly it feels, okay, now I'm hungry. So it gets up, starts looking for the prey. Okay, finds the prey, runs, jumps, kills the prey, eats whatever is required, full stomach, leave whatever is there, again go and then relax. Right? They run, they live their life by instinct. If they are hungry, they will go and eat. If they want to have sex, they'll look out for a suitable partner, have sex and forget about it. Okay, they want to sleep, they'll just go into one corner and just sleep. So they live by instincts. They're better than trees, but not refined. Still higher is called as mukulita or budding consciousness, where same activities are done, but with more refinement. And here starts human wings. They can have lower consciousness also. There you can find some human beings also going through the avruta and sankuchita consciousness. They might be just sleeping, eating whenever they are hungry, sleeping when they want to. But most are not doing that way, right? At least they fall into this category of budding consciousness. They do the same activities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, but in a refined way, right? They won't just go and grab kacha or raw meat and start eating. At least they will cook it and eat. Okay? They want to sleep, at least they will find some mat or some way to cover properly and then they will sleep. Not just like animals. Okay? Still better is called vikasita consciousness, where they start inquiring that, okay, how am I different between how am I different from animals and trees? What is the purpose of my life? They start inquiring. That is called vikasita or developed consciousness. And when that consciousness makes a person deep into understanding, when he starts understanding that what is the purpose of life and he starts acting on it, going to higher purpose and goal, then that is called as purna vikasita consciousness. Now, why I am talking about all these things? Why it is important? All of us, not only human beings, the animals, all of us want to do what in life? Want to be happy, right? The purpose of life is only one, to be happy. So the level of happiness and suffering depends on the level of consciousness. Trees can be happy only by doing one thing. They can get some sunlight, some water, nutrients, they will grow, finish. They cannot go retreat, they cannot go dancing, party. Animals can enjoy in a better way. But human beings, they have higher consciousness, they can enjoy in a better way. They can go in a bar and then they can drink. They can eat better types of food compared to animals. But then the suffering is also more. I'll just give you an example. I was talking about mating. How many times you have heard a dog cribbing that bitch ditched me and then I'm depressed. But you'll see human beings feeling sad that girl, that boy has left me, and then they're very depressed. And then they write poems. They become kavi. And one of the most popular songs are the songs in all languages written in separation or when they feel ditched. And they touch your heart. Right? Suffering also comes more. Animals, they will go eat, but you will not see them too much suffering with constipation, diarrhea. We eat more, then again we have diarrhea, constipation, gas problem, then we get depressed and we don't want to eat. So we have better consciousness, we can become more happy, we have more opportunity to get higher happiness, but same way more suffering. Defending, I just give you an example. A rat is feared of cat. Cat is feared of dog. Dog is feared of some higher animals, right? Humans, tigers, okay? How many times you have seen a deer feared of a deer? A cow feared of a cow? But human beings are feared of?
Sometimes cat is fearful of another cat, I've seen in my corridor.
Yeah, sometimes. Because sometimes some of them are little more.
Yeah.
But most of us are afraid of who? Other human beings. Is it not strange? Is it not strange? We are not much afraid of other animals. Like, more, we are more afraid of other human beings. Is it advancement or actually degradation in our human life? So, this is why it is important that the level of consciousness we have more, we can have more happiness or we can have more suffering, because they are all connected to the level of consciousness. So, an intelligent person understands that what level of consciousness I belong to, what level of consciousness I need to go and how can I go, and starts to understand and pursue that in his life. Okay, so it is described in the various literatures. It's not only scriptures, it's also described in various literatures that intelligent people are those who learn from others. Okay, if I ask you, is there a difference between humans and animals? What is the difference? Tell me.
Animal cannot hear and, you know, understand.
Cannot hear and understand. Okay. I have kept my door open. Okay. And a cat is passing by. It sees some milk in the house. But the cat sees that I am standing next to it with a stick. Will the cat come inside?
No. Probably not.
It understands and it sees, it thinks. Huh? You kick one animal, it will go away. They come back after a while, but they do think and they do have understanding. And it's also rational to quite a degree. Don't think. If you know, like monkeys, you are looking here and there, they'll come and snatch. If you are having a stick in your hand, they won't come. And especially if you go to a place like Vrindavan, they'll come and just snatch your glasses, your shoes, and then they will wait. You know what they wait for?
Food.
They'll bargain with you. You give them some food, they will throw back your specs. If not, what do they do? Anybody has got experience? Got experience, isn't it? They will bite on it and then they'll throw back your specs on you because they're very upset. This is practically we have seen. Those who go to Vrindavan with specs, everybody will get this experience. Don't think animals don't have thinking power and they are not rational. They are also rational. So which way we are different or we are same? Are we same with animals? You want to say? Think. Or are we different? Yes. Of course, yes. But what makes that difference? That's what. Yes.
Ability to rectify your previous actions and go on a corrected path.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Intelligence.
They are also intelligent, but we are. Yes.
Understand whatever we have done.
Yes. We can make corrections and we can change the direction of our life. We can control our instinct and take our mind under our control and then act. Animals do not do that. They are instinct based. How much ever they are intelligent, finally they will remain instinct based. And using that instinct only, those animals who are trained, you have seen huge tiger, huge elephant, when you go to circus, they are trained and they do nice activity. How they do activities? Because they are trained using those instinct of sleeping, eating, mating, defending. I'm sure all of you have gone to Sentosa for that dolphin show. After every action the dolphin does, what does the trainer do? Give them a fish, right? They give them the fish. They know that they will do an activity and exactly they are looking, but now I'm going to get my food. That is the instinct. So even if they use their intelligence in better way or maybe trained way, it is finally run by an basic instinct. That is the difference. But human beings can go above the instinct. Okay. So, the level of intelligence are three. First, those first class intelligent people are those who learn by others' experience. When we hear about others, when we see others, we learn. Like from childhood, we all were told or we were trained by our parents that stealing is not good. If you steal, you will get punishment. And then we refrain from it. Right? And thus we develop good values. We just learn by hearing and by seeing others. Right? We see some thieves getting punished, then it makes more impression on our mind. Oh my God, I don't want to go through this. Right? And that was the rule, or that was the main theme behind initial days, especially even the Britishers, when they wanted to shoot somebody, they would shoot or they would hang somebody in public to make others understand what can happen. So they become first class intelligent. Second class of intelligence is that they see, or sometimes they'll experience with their own level. So I know, I've heard that by doing this I may be punished, but sometimes I think I may not be punished also. Let me try. And then they want to try themselves. And the third level is they see, they hear, they experience, still vaise ke vaise, still the same. And that you have seen, so we have seen so many criminals, they are punished. Especially in Singapore, they are canned, and canning is not easy, right? But after some time, dog's tail. Again, they will go into the same habit. So they are third class of intelligence. Or Prabhupada used to tell them, absolutely animalistic type of understanding. But the real intelligence is when we have refined intelligence, which we use this form of life for achieving some higher purpose. If somebody has seen this person, he is Alfred Ford. He is son of Henry Ford. And Henry Ford is the
maker of Ford.
This person who is filthy rich, obviously anybody of us would like to be in his position, given an opportunity. I was just hearing one of his few years ago talk he was giving to a youth, and this was his opening sentence. I have reached the end of the road and I can tell you there is nothing there. Change your direction now. Because most of us at this age or this stage in life, our direction is towards getting more money, wealth, comfort, luxury. He has everything. And he's telling you from there that I'm at this end where you want to reach. But I'm telling you, after doing such a big struggle, you come here and then you find it's empty. There's nothing inside. You're wasting your life and time. So he's telling us from his experience, it doesn't mean that we should not struggle to get wealth. But only one thing very important. We struggle to get wealth for what? Thinking it will make us happy. Take out that understanding. Struggle for wealth, no problem. But understand that wealth is not going to give you happiness. Then struggle. Then get wealth, you'll use it in good service. Because you know it's not going to give me happiness, let me use it for others. But problem is, no scripture says don't struggle. There is nowhere written that you should not have facilities. But problem is that we think that if I have this wealth, if I have this facility, it will make us happy. And when we get it, we understand it doesn't give happiness. And that makes us more miserable. Gadaj, I just work so hard. At least work hard with the understanding that I'm not going to get happiness over there. I'm not working hard in trying to get more wealth because I'll be happy. I can get more wealth by all means. But you know that's not going to be making me happy. Let me have it and use it in good service. Use it for good purpose. That will make us happy. So he doesn't tell us, don't be wealthy. Don't struggle hard to be healthy. Just make the struggle, no problem, with understanding that it's not for our happiness. Because it doesn't make us happy. Okay. So, we all have heard that there are 84 lakhs of species from various scriptures. And out of which, it's divided into amoeba and those who are in the water, aquatics. There are about 10 lakhs. There are 11 lakhs of trees. There are 10 lakhs of birds. the one which fly, 30 lakhs of animals, different types of. So when we take out everything, 4 lakhs are left for human beings. So out of 84 lakh of species, 4 lakhs are human beings. So at least we are better than others, right? Should we feel happy about it or no? Right? Somewhere we are better than other living entities. Somewhere we have got better facility. I am not saying that we should feel proud about it, but definitely we have got something better than 80 lakh other species. There has to be a reason. So what is the purpose of this human life? Is it not that we should think after getting this rare opportunity? So what is the difference? The difference is that we can inquire and understand the purpose of life. Other 80 lakhs cannot. Tree cannot ask, why am I born as a tree? Can I do something that next time I am not born as a tree? Tiger cannot ask that question. A dog cannot ask. Can we ask? If we do not ask, then?
Same as the tree.
Then we are same as trees and animals. I give you a simple example, a small story. There was a person who was going out with a small child. They were going on the street and they saw a procession, a death procession coming. Now in India or in Hindu religion, when they take the death procession, they are going, so what everybody speaks when they are going? Ram Naam Satya Hai, right? They say Ram Naam Satya Hai. Only truth in life is Lord Ram's name, right? We all have heard that. So the child is asking father what they are saying. So father said, they all are saying the only truth in life is Lord's name. So he's saying, everybody is saying, but the person who is lying on the this, he is not saying. Why? The father said, because he is dead. So child said, oh, it means that those who are dead do not say that Lord's name is all in all. Or the reverse way, those who do not understand that Lord's name is all in all are dead. They are no better than dead. Right? Similarly, if we as a human form do not ask, who am I? What is the purpose of my life? Why I have come here? Is there a better place to go? And is there a way to go? We are just doing same as animals. Right? The basic thing which animals are doing are, is this the next slide? Okay. So the main thing is that we become unhappy or miserable in life when we misuse the higher form of human being, a higher facility to use to get something, achieve something which is very lower, which is easily available to animals. We all work hard thinking at the end of the day, I must get some food. 80 lakhs of species, except human beings, they don't go to job, they don't go and work, they don't have a bank balance, they get food every day. Only these 4 lakh species work hard, and after working hard also, it's not sure that they will get food at the end of the day. So this is the whole thing, that many times we work hard for something which is easily available even to human beings. And is this what we are working hard for? If we think that way, and if we make understanding and purpose of the life, if we will try to understand, that is the only way we can actually take a step ahead. So, first question. Animals or any human beings or any living being, I would ask, they feel happiness in what activities? Or what are the basic activities of a life or a person or a living entity? How do we divide them? Sleep, mate, defend, and eat. Right? So main 4 activities: eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Right? Do anybody of us, any one of us, are doing anything extra than that?
Studying.
Studying for what?
Eating.
Eating. Sleeping, defending, and mating.
Also doing pieces defense.
Anything else? Are we doing anything else?
Talking.
Talking about?
Studies.
Studying for? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Thinking. You're thinking. Thinking about?
Thinking about. You would say studies.
Yeah. Very conscious. So, whatever activities we do, just reflect in your mind. Just think. Somewhere or other, you can easily put them under one of these four main headings. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. There is no other fifth topic. And same four headings are for the activities of a animal. So, we need to do some fifth activity which animals cannot do, just to make us feel good that we are not animals. Right? Just to make us feel good and not feel depressed. Right? And what is that thing? Inquire about the purpose of life. That is the only thing which animal cannot do and which we can do. Right? Rest, everything they are doing, we are doing. And if we'll think, after a few years we'll sit, oh my god, I'm doing same as what my cat is doing, what my dog is doing. Maybe they're eating something very basic food. I'm eating in nice plate with fork and spoon. They're eating in a, yeah, they are going and sleeping in some, on some roads. We are sleeping on nice beds with AC on. But at the end of the day, we will feel depressed if we think over it. Only one thing, inquiring in our purpose of life, will make us feel little solace at the end of life, that we did something better and we are not animals. Otherwise, what will happen at the end of life? Lord will say, full life, what did you do? An animalistic activity. Might as well make him animal in the next life. Right? So I tell you one more story. Okay, I think I have told this before, so those who have heard might remember that there was a sage. He was staying in a forest. He was a priest. Yeah, he was staying in the forest. And he had a horse. And he trained his horse in very spiritual way. Horse is supposed to do what? Run. Or take somebody on his back and go somewhere, right? So they need to learn how to go faster or to how to go, how to stop, right? So he taught the horse that when somebody says, thank God, you start going faster. And when somebody says, save God, that time you stop. Okay? So every time it was related to God. So there was a person who was going through the forest. He lost his way. He met this sage, this priest, and he asked, can you help me going out of this forest? The sage said, of course. I have a horse who is very intelligent, is spiritual, and he knows these two mantras, thank God and save God. Save me, God. And if you say this too, he'll take you, and then he knows the way out, he'll drop you outside the forest. So this person was, wow, what a spiritual, the sage is so great, even his horse is spiritual. So he went, sat on it, started, he started thinking, okay, thank God. Started going. He was like very happy, thank God, and his horse is going faster and faster. After some time he realized the horse is becoming very fast, I can't control. And the horse was jumping over some big stones and some big trees coming in the way. And every time he is getting saved, he says, thank God. And the horse will become even faster. It was becoming a tragedy of his life. And that tension, he forgot the second mantra. What was the mantra to stop the horse? And every time horse was going faster and jumping, he was getting saved. Thank God. It's going faster and faster because that is the only language this horse had learned. Finally, it came to a cliff and it was just going to go down. And this person said, I'm gone. And at the edge of life, when you have nothing else, what do you do? What do you shout?
Save me,
God! He shouted. And the horse stopped. Right? As soon as the horse stopped, he said, thank God. And then I don't have to tell you what happened next. Right? So what I want to say is that basic, if we just feel that just by doing some superficial type of mantra meditation without understanding the purpose, if we will do, our life will be like this horse. finally going down into the cliff of cycle of birth and death, and we will go down to the cycle to the life of an animal, right? We all have experience in our life. If we see a child, if we give something very nice, if I give something very nice and the child is just misusing it, using something, you're giving some very nice toy, you're giving some nice things, and the child is using like a sand, he's using like something very useless thing. You say, take it out and just let him play in the sand, right? Why should I give something higher? Will the Lord not think that I have given such nice opportunity to this human forms, human people who are so intelligent, they have so many facilities, if they just use it like an animal, might as well make them animals next time, right? Is it not rational for the Lord to think like this? That is the important thing for us to understand, that we have to think something different from animals. Many times we think that once we have got the human form of life, done, we are done. But that is not all. As the life passes, in the beginning stage we feel eating, sleeping, mating, defending, very nice. But time takes its own toll, right? Can anybody say that time is not having effect on that person? Nobody want to have grey hairs, but they do have, right? How much ever we try to hide it with the colour, inside the greyness still remains, right? So very important that the time will always have effect on us. And what is the effect of time? 6 main changes happen with us when we take birth. What are the 6 main changes? Anybody knows? When we take birth, there are things which happen in our life with time, whether you wish or you don't wish. What is that thing happen? Yes. After birth, second thing is growth. Right? 2 months old child, 16 years old boy, we feel this is the best part of our life. Can we stop there? 16 years. Now, no more going ahead. We don't want to rewind back. But 16 years, 18 years, best part of our life. Next day, can we say that I'm not 16 years and 1 day old? So grow. We grow old. Means we start growing. Second thing? Next thing? Sorry?
Disease.
Yes. Next thing which happens is?
Disease
happens. We become old. Finally, we die. And in between, what things happen is, we stay for a while. We think, especially when we are around 15, 16 to 17, till 30, 35, 40, we feel, oh, best part of our life, static. You enjoy to the most. So sometimes we feel we are in the best. It just goes smoothly. So it's like a plateau. Though the years are increasing, but the body and consciousness, everything is like a plateau. But then, that time, you reproduce. You have some similar reproduction from you, right? And then next is dwindles, right? Then disease, and last, death. And that is why Prabhupada in one of his class was saying, the class was in Hindi. I'll first say Hindi, then I will translate for you in English. Prabhupada said, Hamare jane bina prakruti samay ke saath hame chup chap budha bana deti hai. Very important word. This is chup chap. We don't even realize what age we are becoming. So Prabhupada, one of the acharyas, he said that even without realizing, the time makes us old very, very silently. We don't even come to know that we are becoming old. And it cannot be controlled. And what happens when the time shows its effect? Same happiness, sleeping, eating, mating, defending, makes no more sense. I used to like rasagulla, laddu, gulab jamun, cheese. But now I cannot eat because I have a heart problem, because I have high blood pressure, because I have got diabetes. Right? I like running, but now I got arthritis. I cannot run beyond a limit. Right? Everywhere there will be limitations. So, with the time, all these things will go away turn by turn. And that is a very important thing, that soul by nature is part of the Lord. Lord is happy beyond limit. So we as part, also we want to be happy beyond limit. But problem is, we are trying to become happy using this machine or this body. And that has got a lot of limitations. Whether we accept or not accept, the time will show us that it has got limitations. And because we are trying to get that long-lasting eternal happiness using this temporary body, finally it leads to frustration. Because body cannot offer that happiness which the soul is looking for. Opposite to that, soul can offer happiness which is much beyond what even body can think of or what body can enjoy. I'll just give you one simple example. If we are given one plate full of nice prasad, that day 2 weeks ago NUS had nice prasadam, right? Soumya Mataji, she was serving. Many of you were serving, right? And there were so many preparations, and many of them are like what you really like and you look forward to. The cake was excellent, sambar was excellent, medu vada idli, right? And you want to have it, you enjoy it. Okay, there is one happiness what body will enjoy. Second happiness, those who were standing on this side of the table and serving others, right? While serving others, we expected about 150, 180 crowd, and how much? Fortunately, we had 250. It was definitely a wonderful response. All of us were happy, and those who were serving, they kept on serving, they kept on serving, and at the end, almost nothing was left for the servers. And I was feeling so sad that they have worked so hard, they served everybody. Actually, went to talk to them. I'm really sorry. I owe all of you a treat at my house or somewhere. We'll arrange and we'll really feed you nice well, because today we couldn't serve you all well. And most of us, I said, you saw me as a response. She said that if I was on the other side and I would have got that plate to eat for myself, I wouldn't have been that happy what I am today by serving that to others. Is this not we all come across in our life? Happiness is in giving, not is in possessing. That happiness comes from soul. That happiness comes from soul, which is beyond even what body can think. Body can give you happiness only by eating, but the soul gives you happiness by serving others, by helping others, going one step ahead. And that is what can make us really happy, right? So we all know that every time of our life we spend for what? To get better prospects in life. We are working hard for some opportune movement. And that is what our boss uses. They put dangle a carrot. We all have used this or heard this phrase, right? That they dangle a carrot in front of us. This carrot is dangling in front of whom actually? Tell me. This phrase comes from where? You are showing me a carrot or what? Yes. Right? So when our boss, or so many times our friend or somebody, you know, they tell us, you know, and we tell them, so you're trying to show me a carrot, you're dangling a carrot in front of me. It means that what we're taking ourselves as? Donkeys. It's put in front of donkeys. Right? Donkeys on whose body there's lot of load kept, they put a stick. And at a far end, you dangle a carrot. And donkey thinks, I'll go eat that carrot. So it keeps on going ahead. The carrot also keeps on going ahead, and that is how it carries the load, right? So this is what happens. We always are working hard for better prospects in life. Some carrot, some better prospect is hanging, but when we move ahead, it just keeps on going ahead, right? Again, I want to tell you a story, right? There was a donkey who was in the house of a person. Obviously, he was like also like a person who was like a, what we call dhobi, washerman, right? Usually they have donkeys in their house, especially in India or villages, right? They will use them for taking the clothes. So one day, and he would work very hard. He would put a lot of clothes, take him, then he would carry so much of weight. So one day he met another donkey, and this other donkey is telling, why are you sitting in that person's house? Why don't you just leave from there? He has kept you free. Just run away from there. We all are eating. You will also get to eat properly. Don't worry. We all are enjoying our life. So the donkey said, you don't know, but I have a better prospect in life. So the donkey saying, what better prospect? You are eating, we are also eating. You have some female donkey, I will also get some female donkey. Not a big deal about it. Is he giving you something higher? So the donkey said, yes. What is that? He said, some time ago I heard that my master was shouting at his daughter. She did something which was not good. So he shouted that next time you do such thing, I'm going to get you married to this donkey. So I have a better prospect. Why? Because I know his daughter. She always does something or the other thing wrong, and I'm waiting for that one mistake by her. When she does that mistake, it will make my life. We all keep on thinking that that one moment, opportune moment will come, which will make our prospects bright. It is not wrong. Actually, it is the nature of a human being. Because we think rationally, we wait for opportune movement for better prospect. But the problem again comes because we think the better prospect are in this world. Actually, we are supposed to think of a better prospect. But what is the better prospect? That is the important thing. What is the better prospect? When you think, why I am bound here? How can I go here, out of here? That is the better prospect of our life. So, our desire to go for a better moment or opportune moment or search of an opportune moment is not wrong. It is supposed to be there in every intelligent person or a rational person, human being, right? It's only that the direction where we are searching is wrong. So getting a human form of life, it itself is the opportunity for us. And Kali Yuga, this part of time of world or cycle is called as Kali Yuga, right? I just want to say what are the effects of Kali Yuga. In initial days, I remember like my grandparents and all, outside their door or outside their house, what was written there? Welcome, Suswagatam. You remember those posters and they used to write, okay? Then after a while, in my parents' time, it was written Shubha Labha. Good for me, bad for me. Sorry, good for everything should be good for me. So they'll write Shubha Labha. Everything should happen good to me. And nowadays when we go outside, what is written there?
Beware of
dogs. Where did we start and where we have reached? Just in 2 generations. It is not far away. I have personally seen with my own eyes, my grandparents' house written Suswagatam. My own parents' house Shubha Labha. And now this is what is there outside our houses, right? Beware of dogs, right? In initial days, when people would earn money, at the end of the day or end of the month, what they would do? They would draw a small circle around them. They would throw the money in the air. Whatever falls inside the circle, they would use. And the outside, all money outside the circle, they will use it for good purpose, for Lord and serving others, right? Then, as the time passed, they made a line and they would stand on the line and throw it. Whatever falls on one side is mine, half whatever is for the good purpose, for serving the God and for others, humanity or other living entities. Now what do? We throw it up. Whatever God can catch, it is his. Whatever falls down is mine. Right? We fix the match with the Lord. This is the degradation, what is the effect of Kali Yuga happening. If the life has to be described in 3 words, these are the 3 words of today's modern life. Hurry, worry, sorry. Right? The youth is always in hurry. Since morning, we are running. We have to reach to the college. We have to be in time, then do the class, then run for this classes, that classes, then thesis, submission, running. Hurry. I wish it was H-A-R-I, hurry. But unfortunately, it is this hurry, right? Then you become middle-aged, my age. Whether I will get child or no, once you get child, whether he will grow properly or no, whether he will go to medical or no, whether I will have my health properly or no, whether I will have enough money, we are always worrying. And at the end of the life, when we are relaxed, and when we think, what did I do in my life? Oh shit, I brought my children up, now they are somewhere in Singapore. God knows what they are doing. Nobody is looking after me. I am old. I want to eat, but I cannot eat. Then finally what they feel?
Sorry.
Deepak Prabhu has something?
Not eat.
So basically, the life becomes story of hurry, worry, sorry. Till it is the time to worry. Right? This is our today's modern life. Hurry, worry, sorry. Till the time of worry. But if you want to go out of this cycle, you have to do hurry, hurry. Right? Okay. So, nowadays what we are doing, in our young age, all of us are running, 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 hurrying and worrying. Losing all our health to get the wealth. Right? At the end of, or towards the dawn of life, we realize I have a lot of wealth, but the health is gone. So then we spend all our wealth on our health, to regain our health. I am a doctor and I can tell you so many examples day in and day out. Singapore is so small and so many hospitals, so many doctors, so many things available, but still there is always shortage of bed. Every day we get mails, please discharge patients, there is so much of waiting list. For 1 month they don't get appointments for seeing one doctor. So much of disease. So after spending all your wealth, you have earned your life, you cannot regain your wealth. So at the end of the life, what is there in your hand? Neither health nor wealth. Right? So, I again tell you one story. There was a miser. He was really miser. He was a businessman. So he was selling milk, but he would put water into it. So sorry. He would put little milk into water. Reverse it. Okay? So, when the king caught him, the king said he needs to be punished. Right? Initial days they would be punished. So the king called him and told him that you need to be punished because you have done very wrong thing by mixing little bit of milk into so much of water. Okay? So you have three options. First, you have to pay 100 gold coins. Second, you get 100 canings on your body. Third, you get to eat 10 kg of ghee. So, this miser is thinking, I cannot give money at any cost. Third option is out. 100 coins out of question. And this king seems like he is mad. He is so expensive and he wants to give me 10 kg. He happily said, I am ready for the third. Actually, I can go for anyone, but I think I will go for the third one. So, he took the third option. Okay? So, they started feeding him ghee. Think, even in those days, how much ghee a person can eat? Ghee is butter, pure butter. How much you can eat? 1 kg, 2 kg, 3 kg, 4 kg. This is strong, because whatever is going in is coming out at the same time. Right? The whole path has become smooth. Right? So he said, stop, I cannot take any more. So, soldier said, no. Then you have to take other two, either caning or money. Money! I cannot give my money. I don't mind taking caning on my body. Okay. Beat me up. Said beating. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Stop! I cannot take any more. There's nothing left on my body. Right? He said nothing. I cannot take any more. Okay, then pay 100 coins. So finally, a miser had to go through all three. Lose everything. Similarly, when we don't take care of our health, spiritual health, material health, everything, we lose everything at the end of it. But is there any advantage? I've depressed all of us enough by saying there is so bad in this Kali Yuga, right? Everybody is cheating and everybody's health is becoming bad, life is becoming bad. Is there any good thing about this time of life? Yes. Same question was asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukhdev Goswami, that this Kali Yuga, which is full of faults, there is so much of difficulty, people will be always betraying each other, they will be hypocrite. How are we going to actually get deliverance? How will we achieve the higher purpose of life? And that time Sukhdev Goswami said that there is one golden opportunity, and that is this: Kalir Dosh Nidhe Rajan Asti Ek Mahan Guna Kirtanat Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramhaji. That this time of Kali Yuga, or this time of life, is really full of faults. It's like an ocean of faults. But there is one good opportunity, one good thing, and that is just by chanting the name of the God, one can get completely delivered and can go back to spiritual world. Right? So, the best is that just by dedicating one life, this one life, taking Lord's name, one thing, and simply by listening to Krishna's pastime, we can completely get the purpose of our life in our hand. Now I'm going to tell you something which is a real true story. Maybe about 150 plus years ago, not very far away, but this is a real story. This happened in North India. There was a dacoit who had a son, and in that area of North, they keep the names which are like, so this dacoit had kept his son's name Govardhan. Govardhan is a big mountain which was carried by Krishna. So he kept his son's name Govardhan. From, like, our doctors want to train their child from beginning only as doctors. The lawyers want their children to become. So this dacoit wanted his child to become a big
dacoit.
So it trained him from childhood. You have to become a good dacoit. So he was teaching him all things which was perfect to become a good dacoit. And it told him that these are the do's, but there are something don'ts. One thing which you don't have to do in life, that is never associate with any devotee of Lord, never hear anything from them, don't speak even one word of Lord. He said, okay, I will never hear. So he had never heard anything about God from childhood. One day when he was passing by, there was one place where a sage was speaking about Krishna and his pastimes. Okay? And he was passing by. So he knew that this is the Sangha where Lord's glories are going on. And his father had told him, never hear. So he was closing his ear tight when he was going. I will not hear anything. I have to follow. He was a very good son. But according to the arrangement of the Lord, halfway through when he was passing by, a thorn pierced his foot. And he had to take out the... So that time when he took out the finger from his ear, he heard something. And when you know that you are not supposed to do something, somehow your mind is like, just go there, right? You, if I tell you, close your eyes and don't think of a buffalo. What thing comes in front of you is buffalo. This is natural, right? So, as soon as he took out his ears, his mind just went, okay, in this few seconds, whatever goes, I'm not going to hear that, but let me see what they are saying. And he heard that this boy has lot of golden ornaments which are filled with studded with rubies and gems and his earrings and all that, and says, ah, this is not Lord's pastime going on. This is something good description. If I go and do my dacoity there, I will make my life successful. So he started hearing now what is going on. So he heard that there is a boy whose name is Krishna. He never heard the name. So he never knew that Krishna is the name of the God. And he has got lot of ornaments on his body which are really precious jewels. So he said, this is good, but now I don't know where to find him. So at the end of the day, he went to the priest's house and he woke him up and told me, what was that person you were talking about? He said, Krishna. He said, where can I find him? He said, Vrindavan. Okay, where is Vrindavan? Just go here, there, like this, north. You can walk and you will find Krishna. That person was so scared. He just wanted to get rid of this dacoit. So he just told him, go, you will find him. So this person thought, okay, Krishna is the name and his description is like this. So he's just thinking, he's like this and I have to go. He's going, he's thinking. At the night when he was passing through a forest, he fell asleep. Morning he got up. What was the name? Forgotten already. Then, because he had never heard, it was so new for him, right? So he went back to this person's house and asked him, tell me properly now everything about this boy. So he now completely, he said, I'm not going to sleep now. I'm going to remember. So he completely was meditating on this name and the description and thinking like that without sleeping, doing anything. He went and reached place called Vrindavan. Then he saw some shopkeepers. So they asked, where can I find Krishna? Shopkeeper said, everywhere. Wherever you go, Krishna is there. So you're going to see Krishna? So he said, yes. Then why don't you take this makhan, the butter? Because Krishna likes butter. He said, okay, give me. So he took the button and started looking for Krishna. And then when he is looking into this forest and groves, he saw somebody coming from far, exactly looking like Krishna. Blue colored boy with all the ornaments and the beauty, exactly what he had heard. Pakade mein aa gaya. Now I have caught him. So he went and pulled him on the side into the groves and asked, are you Krishna? I said, yes. Okay. Do you like butter? Yes. Can you eat this butter? Krishna said, okay, but feed me. My hands are very dirty because I have come from the forest. So he fed some butter. And while feeding the butter to Krishna, he started talking to him very nicely and he said, can I please get all these ornaments on your body? So Krishna said, I don't mind actually because you have fed me butter which I really like. But my mother will be very upset with me. And when I go back, she won't take me in house, you know. So he said, but please, I really need it. Then he said, okay, if you really want, you take it out from my body. Then I will not tell anything to my mother. So he slowly, slowly took out all the ornaments from Krishna's body. Then as soon as he was looking at the beauty of Krishna. He took out all the ornaments. Then he looked at the ornaments and he said, actually, they don't look nice here, you know. They look very nice when you wear them. So I said, then why don't you put it back on my body? So he said, okay, I know that. And he was so mesmerized by the beauty of Krishna that he actually put everything back on Krishna. Krishna said, can I go? And can you please get me butter tomorrow also? He said, okay. And next day again he went, waiting for Krishna all the while, thinking of Krishna all the time with butter in his hand. And Krishna came. And that day he did not want to take the ornaments from his body. This is the power of hearing Krishna's pastime. And I'm telling you, this is not a story from some scripture. This is a real thing which happened about 150 plus years ago in North India. This is very much known to the people, those who are there. And then he became one of the greatest devotees. We wonder, for years we are chanting Krishna's name and we cannot see him. How come he could see? He had one thing in life, and that was faith and eagerness. He had complete faith that when I go, I'm going to find him. And he had eagerness to find him. And mind you, faith can move mountains. If we have faith, he will reveal to us. He will come to us. That is very simple in this. And how do we get him? How do we get the purpose of life? Just by simply chanting his name. Just say Krishna, just say Ram, just say Jehovah, Allah. Whatever is the bona fide names, it's not only Krishna. So many bona fide names are there. But with faith, when we take these names, it will make us get the final purpose in our hand. So, it is said that when the opportunity knocks on the door, and if you think two times, who will be there? Should I open? Should I not open? Should I go and wash my face and get ready first before I open? The opportunity will pass by. So when the opportunity knocks, what are we supposed to do? Accept it. Immediately let the opportunity come in our hand. And this is the opportunity. Human form is the opportunity. It has already knocked. We have already got into it. Now if we think, what am I supposed to do? Will I do this? Can I do this? Whole life will go away in thinking and the opportunity will pass by. And at the end, when we will realize, it will be late already.
Right?
Yes. So, please know two things. Out of 84 lakh, we are those rare 4 lakh human form. That is first opportunity. Out of this 4 lakh human species now, this human form, how many are on this world? Tell me. Totally, how many human beings are there on this world?
6 billion.
I don't even know how many zeros will come into that. Right? But billions of people are there. How many are getting to know about the purpose of life? How to get it? This is our opportunity. We have come in touch with the Lord. We have come in touch with the message of the God. We have come, it has come to be revealed to us because of whatever good fortune or causeless mercy, that how can we get the purpose of life? Let this not go away. Human form and this message, both has come together. Now if you think, I don't know what to say. Monkey, right? First only slide we said, a person who misses the opportunity and a monkey who misses a branch cannot be saved. So we should not be, right? So what does the basic message of the Lord says? three things. Basic sense control. When we say no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, is it something very high? Lord is asking. It is just a civilized form of human life. If we say that we should just have physical relationship with one person, that's your wife or husband, is it something extra? Scripture is asking. Is it not just a simple, basic human? We are not go out or like dogs, whoever bitch comes in front of you. Right? So this is something basic. What is asked, sense control, is basic. And basic sense control is required even for material gain. We all have experience in life. When we want to get degree, when we want to get something in life, we don't want to eat, we don't want to sleep. Before exams, we don't sleep. We don't want to even eat properly, right? We don't want to waste our time. Why? Because we are struggling hard to get our degree, to get something. Even for something small like this, if we can, if we require to control our senses, then for getting something higher, for getting the Lord's mercy, if some basic sense control is required, what is so lost into it? What is so abnormal about it? And what happens when we do basic sense control? It refines our consciousness. It develops the character. It boosts our willpower. And it helps us in controlling our mind. Anybody has got this experience? Anybody has got this experience? Mind being so restless, all the time running here and there, exactly will do what it is not supposed to do. But when you start taking shelter of the Lord, start engaging your mind, slowly, slowly, the mind starts coming under control. It may not be all the time, it may not be completely, but it is definitely better than before. Right? Because your now concentration is like Arjuna. You all know the story of Arjuna, right? When Dronacharya was taking test, he called all his disciples. He had put a wooden or a fake bird and he said that you all are supposed to shoot at the eye of the bird. He asked Duryodhan, so Duryodhan, what can you see? He said, what can you see means what? I have two eyes. I can see everything. I can see you. I can see all the Pandavas. I can see all the Kauravas. I can see the tree. I can see the bird. I can see everything. Dronacharya said, side, next one. Yudhishthir came. What can you see? I can see the tree. I can see the bird. Okay, next one. And finally, it was only Arjun. Dronacharya asked him, what can you see? He said, I can see the eye of the bird. Can you see the bird? What did he say?
No.
Can you see the tree? No. Can you see me? Obviously not. And then he was the person who could achieve that goal in life. So that one thing, if we keep our goal correct, then we can get past through it. So this is very important, that mind is like, or our life is like river which is flowing. River, it has to constrain itself by two banks. When it floods, then it causes havoc, right? So when the river water allows itself to be contained on two sides by the bank, by the banks of the river, and then you make a dam on the river, then the water is stored. But then it can be used in much higher ways, in much directed ways, to get lot of different ways of energy. Similarly, our human form of life, when we allow it to be restrained by the direction on two sides, by the teachings of our parents, our elders, our teacher, and we make a dam of what? Of God's teaching, then our life, which has got so much of potential, can be used in right way. Otherwise, the water will just keep on flowing, our life will keep on flowing, at the end of it, haribol. Right? Right? So, what is important is making the right choice and taking the right decision. The desire or the decision can make difference in life. Right? It can be same desire, but just the intentions being different, it can spoil the entire thing. Example is Titanic. Titanic was about to, sorry, when it was made, what was the slogan?
Can never sink.
Nobody can sink it. It would float. It floats on what? A boat floats on water. It sank finally. Sank due to? Ice. Ice is a part form of water. Same water can make Titanic float, And same water in the form of ice can make Titanic sink. Same thing is in our life. Our desires can make us bounded, or if we take the right decision, same desires will make us float and go across this ocean of life of birth and death. It's in our hand. Next is holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this, Cheto darpana marjanam bhavabha davagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidhavadhu jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. All glories to this Sri Krishna Sankirtan or the chanting of the holy name. Why? Because these are the advantages, list of advantages just by chanting the holy name we can achieve. We are always running for happiness, but this happiness comes very easily, which we are always running for. If we go through this, 1 hour class can go on only this one shloka. How just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can really be blissful in life. And the best example I always give is, right, which actually not my example, Prabhupada used to tell this, that tell anybody to say Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Gulab Jamun, whatever you like. Okay, take one mala and say Gulab Jamun. What do you like most?
Chocolates.
Okay, what do you like most? Gulab Jamun. Okay, so you take mala and say chocolate and you say Gulab Jamun. How long can you enjoy? How long can you do it? Enjoy, forget, you won't enjoy. But can you do it? It's not possible. But you see, in any religion, Hindu, Muslim or Christian, they all chant the name of the Lord. Same name chanted over and over again. They don't get bored. We chant for 2 hours saying Krishna, 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 Ram, Ram, Ram. We don't get bored. Why? Because this name is different. It itself shows its potency, that we are able to chant itself shows that it is different. Right? Such a simple common sense. Right? And best, most important thing I want to say is, whether you believe or no, do the experiment and then see. Okay? One day, take the beads in your hand, okay, and say, okay, today I'm going to chant the holy name of the Lord. 15 minutes. Try. Next 15 minutes, you try the name of Gulab Jamun and chocolate. Okay? Try to taste the honey directly. Don't just lick it, lick the bottle from outside. You cannot make the, you cannot get the taste. You cannot tell whether it is sweet or sour. So I'm telling you that the name of the Lord is powerful, it is superior, and that is the name which we can chant. Do it yourself and check it out whether you are able to do it and whether it really makes a difference in your life or no, and then decide. Don't go just because somebody is telling you. Okay, and last is, so first is basic sense control, second is chanting the holy name of the Lord, and third is service to others. So I picked up this saying that life is like a tennis game. To win it, you must know how to serve well. Right? In the tennis game, if you start the game, right, if the person who serves, he is always at advantage. You all know this part, right? That the person whose service is there, he knows, if I can make it this time, I can do it. It's very difficult if it is the other side person who is serving, right? Because to win it, you need to know how to serve it. Similarly, we need to know how to serve others, other living entities, other human beings and Lord, and that is the way to become happy in life. And that is why we should say what tennis also says, love all. And important is to understand this we can do only when we think that we have trusty consciousness. What is this trusty consciousness is? Something which we have, we can have two consciousness, trusty or controller. This belongs to me. This is mine. I have earned it very hard way. So I can do whatever I want. Or, with Lord's grace, because of some good karma, obviously associated with my effect, but I have been given some power, some wealth, some good fortune in life. Let me act as a trustee of this and use it in a better way for the well-being of all. And that way, when we have this trusty consciousness but not the controller consciousness, we can make the best use of whatever fortune comes in our life. And we should always give and serve others. So I'm sure you all have heard about the story of Ash. Okay, for those who have not heard, very few I'm sure must not have heard, especially Ye Ching has not heard, I'm sure. So I will tell you this very sweet story. So, a sadhu, there was a priest who would always go begging. Many of them, I think many of the religious is like this, that the sages or the priests, they would don't cook for them. So they'll go just beg a little bit, eat whatever they get, and they'll be happy. So he's always going and asking for some alms. So one lady was so irritated and frustrated in her life, she would always bang the door on his face. So just get lost. You all don't do anything. Kya bolte hai, fukat ki roti todte hai. They just want to, don't want to work. And they want to eat peacefully, I won't give you anything. And this sage will come every day. After a few days, this lady was so frustrated with him also, that she said, I must teach him a good lesson. Wait, I will give you something today. So he said, very good, something is coming. So she went in the kitchen, and in the olden days, they would make cooking on a stove using the wood. So the ash of the wood was there. So she picked up some ash, she went and threw it in his cloth. He said, here you have, go, enjoy. So he said, thank you very much, I will come tomorrow again. And she was like, what? Have you not got your lesson today also? He said, what did the sage said? I've been coming so many days, you never gave me anything. At least today you have started giving. Today you have given me ash, tomorrow you will give me cash. Right? At least you have started serving, giving others. And that act, once it has started, that is the thing which we can give happiness. So serving, all of us have this experience, right? The day we have helped others, the day we have done something good to others, that day at the end of the day, before we go to sleep, when we think over it, it brings a big smile on our face. Many times we go out of our way, we stretch one more extra mile to help others. It doesn't bring us any material good. So many times we do that. But that day is different. That satisfaction is different. Do you all agree? Because by serving others, by giving others, actually it brings us more happiness. So, final conclusion. There is material happiness and there is spiritual happiness. Material happiness is like a carrot, always in view. But you try to experience it, keeps on moving away. It's like a mirage. We thought I will be happy when I get into Singapore National University. So here I am. But the carrot has gone further. I should get my PhD. Somebody has got PhD. The carrot has gone further away. I should get my job. Right? Once you get job, once you get money, now no more happiness into that. I should have somebody to share my happiness. I should have a wife, husband, children. And it keeps on going. So material happiness is like this. It is always in view, but when you go, experience it, cannot experience because it is moved further apart. It's like mirage. Right? Spiritual happiness. Can I show what spiritual happiness I am getting? Can you show me happiness when you are happy, when you are chanting? Cannot show. It's never in view. But it can only be experienced. Again, I'll tell you one true story. This is in Russia. Russia, you all know, right? It was a communist country, strongly communist country. And there were few devotees who were practicing Krishna consciousness. It was absolutely against the government. So government had few agents. They were called KGB agents. And then they would go behind the life of these devotees, always wanted to catch them red-handed and wanted to punish them. So once when one satsang program was going on, they all put a raid. They all raided that area. And then they said, there has to be something. You all are looking very happy. We all want to do. So they raided the whole house and they knew how the KGB are. So they had seen to that they don't have any Bhagavad Gita, any scriptures, nothing in that area. They're just dancing and doing, you know, like, and then they would speak very softly. And those people, those who were seeing from the windows and all, they were keeping the watch. So then they came inside, they said, we know you have got something which you are very happy about. So you have something. So nothing. They found, nothing they could find. So, okay, we'll do your blood test. And we are sure you have taken some drugs. She said, why are you thinking like that? We have not taken any drugs. I said, but how can you feel so happy? We saw you are dancing, jumping, so big smile on your face. This is a real incident. And the devotee said, you come along with us, you take the drug which we are taking, without taking IV also, then you will know, because it is can only be experienced. It is never in view. Any one of you have got this experience? Just last week when we were in NUS, when Devkinandan Prabhu is doing kirtan, when he's singing so beautifully, how much happy we were just listening to the sound vibration. We wanted to dance. In fact, some of us started dancing, right? We started dancing. And it is like so much of happiness, it can only be experienced. You tell others, oh, it's so nice. You come and do yourself, then you will know. Otherwise, others, by listening, we cannot get that happiness, right? Correct? So that is what is the difference between material and spiritual happiness. The benefits, finally what we will get by taking to this process. It is said by Brahmaji, Karmani Nirdahati Kintu Cha Bhakti Bhajam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. All reactions of our karmas will get burnt to ashes just by we simply take to the process of devotional service. We don't have to do anything. He takes care of us. So I just want to tell a small story. What happens? How? There was a king, it was his birthday that day, and he wanted to invite the whole kingdom and told them that whatever you want today, I will give to you. Somebody came and said, can I have some money? My daughter is going to get married, so I want dowry for my daughter. Somebody came and said, my land is not giving enough crop. Can I get a better type of land, few acres? So be it. Some wells, some house, some whatever they wanted. Everybody was getting rubies, jewels, whatever they wanted. Everybody was happy. One person came, and when the king asked, okay, so what is your desire? What do you want? Said, I want to be your friend. And everybody is looking, what nonsense he's asking. Today king is giving everything. Why is he asking to become a friend? King said, what? Said, yeah, I just want to be your friend. I don't want anything. King said, so be it. Okay, next. He was just in the mood of giving everybody. Everybody became, then at the end of the day when king is sitting, he's thinking, everybody got everything and everybody was so happy giving me blessings. But one person told me he wanted to be my friend. And I told him, so be it. It means that I have become his friend. After a few days, he's thinking, he's saying, I must go to meet my friend. So he called the ministers. I want to go and meet my friend and maybe I will spend a day with him. So the minister says, what? You will go and go to that beggar's house? He's such a poor person. So all ministers made arrangements. They made a big road going to his house because king is going to come. They built up his big palace for the friend because king is going to come and stay there. And made all the arrangements in the house with servants, gave him all the wealth, all facilities because king is going to come. And now next, he can go and meet the king. And they started having very good relationship. He got everything just by making king his friend. He used his intelligence in the right way. Similarly, the Lord comes and tells us, I'm ready to give you whatever you want. So we say, can I get one degree please? Can I get some wealth? So be it. Right? Can I get a good husband, wife? Very beautiful. Can I get Aishwarya Rai as my wife? So be it. Right? All these desires. But an intelligent person will ask what?
No.
Yes. Can I just be in your inner circle of your inner friends, relatives, your own people? He says, so be it. And that time others will laugh at you. They will say, crazy ho gaya, pagal ho gaya. You're all the time chanting, bead bag, you're moving around. All your friends will say, khasak gaya. Because that is what that other friend, all the people also thought about the person who said, Krishna, I want to be your friend. Lord says, I'm ready to give whatever you want. But we should be intelligent enough to know what to ask from the Lord. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Krishna bhakta nishkama atha eva shanta, mukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. Krishna bhakta, the devotee of the Lord, is nishkam. He doesn't have any separate desires. And that is why atha eva, that is why he is shanta. He is always happy in his head, in his heart. Right? A wealthy person who goes anywhere of the world, any part of the world, he can have everything at his own disposal because he can spend and he can get. Right? Similarly, a devotee of the Lord can go in any part of the world and can find God everywhere. So he is happy. Right? So that is why a Lord's devotee is always happy and peaceful. So, Lord is saying in Bhagavatam, it's very important and very great message which He is giving to all of us. He's saying, this comes in 9th canto, when you all know the story of Amrish Maharaj, right? Amrish Maharaj was a great king and great devotee of Lord. He once came in touch with Durvasa Muni, who felt Amrish Maharaj offended him. I won't go into the story. And Durvasa Muni, there was a big sage, big priest, and he wanted to kill Amrish Maharaj. So he created a demon. But because this Amrish Maharaj, the king Amrish, was so much devoted, he said, if I have to be killed at this time, if that is what my Lord wants it, let me die. I have to just remember the Lord. In his heart, he was just remembering and surrendering to Lord, that Lord Sudarshan, the disc of the Lord, came gushing over there. He killed the demon created by Durvasa Muni. And then this disc started running after Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni is like, oh, how come it is coming after me? Because you are trying to harm my Lord's devotee. Sudarshan is running after Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni went to Shivaloka. Lord Shiva, please help me. What happened? This Sudarshan is coming. What? Sudarshan is coming. Out, out. Out from here. Otherwise, I will have also a problem. Go out. We all have this thing in our life, right? If we know in our boss, suppose in office, boss is not very happy with somebody. Or maybe they have very bad relationship. We think if I am with that person, na, boss will also become bad to me. Okay. Keep safe distance. For our advantage, right? We all do that, right? So Lord Shiva also said, out. Please, excuse me. He went to Brahma. Brahma said, I cannot do anything. Please go away fast from here. Otherwise, Sudarshan will come and harm you. Finally, he went to Lord Vishnu. And Durvasa Muni fell at the feet of Vishnu and said, this is your Sudarshan. You can stop. Please save me. And this is the answer which Lord gave us. Lord told the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said to Brahmana. Brahmana is who? Durvasa Muni. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the course of their heart. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. So Lord said, sorry. And finally, he had to come and beg forgiveness from the king, Amrish, who could save him. This is what Lord says. I am ready to sell myself to my devotees. He sells himself and he says, you take my name, just love me, I am giving myself and you can do whatever you want with me. This is what in exchange we are getting from the Lord, and that is the greatness of the Lord. I just give you simple examples that Lord adjusts his desire just to please his devotees. Lord Krishna was going at the end of Kurukshetra war when he said everything is Hastinapur done very well, Yudhishthira has become king. Okay, now let me go to my house, Dwarka. Yudhishthira came running. Please don't go away. Lord said, but I have also my wife, children, Baba. I also must go and take care of them. Please don't go away. Lord said, okay, I will stay. Stayed back. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was traveling in South India, he came across one Brahmana. And that Brahmana was a great devotee of Ram, and he would read Ramayana. And that day he was reading Ramayana, he came to the chapter where Sita was kidnapped by Ravana. And he would get so engrossed into reading that, he started lamenting and crying. How could Sita be touched by this demon? And then he stopped eating, he stopped sleeping, and he was completely in that shattered feeling. Because he was feeling himself engrossed into that. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, he went 160 kilometers. That time there were no cars or flights. He walked 160 kilometers to a place where there was a scriptural original copy available, where it was mentioned that actually original Sita was never touched by Ravanas, and it was only Maya Sita which was taken by Ravana, and actually original Sita was with Agnidev. He got that full scriptural reference. He walked back 160 kilometers. Came back to show this Brahmana so that his heart is pacified and he starts eating. Is this not the mercy and the concern of a Lord for a simple Brahmana? If we give ourselves to Lord, he is ready to make all adjustment in his life. And we all know, we have heard last time in NUS class, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what we have to do from our side? Leave this stupid material world and go to spiritual world. What renunciation we are doing? What Lord does? He leaves spiritual world and comes to material world. Actually, he is renouncing things for us, right? We are not doing anything great for him, right? So he leaves the spiritual world, he comes here, then he takes sannyas also, so that we fallen people can take his mercy. These are his sacrifices for us. If he is ready to do so much for us, how can we be foolish, and who can be that hard-hearted person who will think that I should still not take Lord as my life and soul? So this is Lord's mercy, and we have to think that this is the opportunity. Human form of life, this pure message of God with us. Opportunity is here. Either you take it, opportunity is nowhere, or it is now here. We all are human beings. We all agree or no? I hope we agree. Second, we all have got come in touch with the mercy of the Lord somehow or other. Just see around. Hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people are moving around, not even getting a scratch of on their mind, thinking, who am I? How am I different from the animals? At the end of life, when they will get this thought, what condition they will be? At least we are fortunate enough that today, before we have some time to die, hope so, that we have got this message, and it is now opportunity to for us. Take it or leave it. Leave it, I can say, monkey life. So decide now whether you want to take this opportunity, try it in your life, and give a trial. After a few years, after a month, a year or so, if you feel it is not working, it's up to you. Those who are practicing for years can take it and tell you that it is worth trying it. I was just sharing with Soumya the other day, I'm just sharing with all of you, that when I was also a student in my medical life, with all of you, this message of Gita I came in touch with, 1993-1994. And a bunch of our classmates, mainly, we started going for these discussions. I'm just telling you from like real life, okay? And it was some of the boys in our class who really got involved into it, and they would really call us, come, this is very nice. And we used to say, okay la, study la, never mind la. Then they would force us to fake it, you know, come at least, come for yourself, try for yourself. I said, okay. Then some of us also started going. At the end of MBBS, after taking up for 3 years, we tried, and somehow it really made sense to many of us. We continued. Many of them, let me tell you, that those who inspired us somehow got busy and they got flown away with the life. Today, many of those are really successful and very, very famous doctors of Bombay. I can tell you, you can just Google and you will know their glories on Google also, you can search. They're really very, very top class doctors. And it is only since last 2 years, after 15 years of gap, suddenly, I don't know how, at least 5 or 6 of them are trying to contact me or one of my other friends and telling us, can you please tell us more now what to do? We really feel that we have got everything in life, their family, they have got very good name, fame, position, obviously money is no question about it. Their hospitals of their own. But now they are feeling a big vacuum in their heart, and they are feeling 15 years of their life is wasted. And one of the person, let me tell you, Rishikesh Tadwalkar, he was such a strong person, such a strong follower, but then went to study so much, and his wife has become now taken up very seriously. He now wants to come back, but that thing, that same girls we were with, now they are so much ahead of us and now have to start. I was talking to him last time when I went to India 2 months ago, that you are the person who got us into touch. You will always remain our Siksha Guru. Don't think, but can you imagine, now they are feeling, many of them, 15 years we have wasted, like morons, like foolish. We have got so many things, but they are feeling so sad in their heart and they want to take up. Some of them still feeling hesitant because now the gap issue, but I pray that they take up also. But I am telling you that there are experiences in life, and that makes us more now strong. That maybe materially may not be that successful like them, but definitely much more satisfied and content. And I can say, you know, like in the first slide, in the beginning slide, we saw that person had to decide where to land, right? Somebody decided to land on the carrier, somebody decided to land on Krishna, right? And then I can tell you from my experience, I still feel that decision taken 15 years ago, I still feel happy about it. And if opportunity is now there in front of you, many times we feel it is right, but maybe we think we will do it later when we become old. Please don't do it. I'm not telling any one of you, just give up everything. No need of degree, no need of wealth, no. Do everything. Just add Lord in your life. No subtraction, no division. It is only multiplication and only addition. And life will be successful. Please take this opportune moment of your life. Thank you. Can I just ask now, because I see many of you for many, many years. Not many years, means 1 year, 2 years ago. Who is, I'm sure now basic sense control, I don't have to worry about everybody. Service, I so see many of you are doing, already started doing services. And I can see and I can tell you that last to last Saturday's success. Sandeep also can tell, Sri Ram Gopal Prabhu can say, it was because of all of you. None of us were contacting hundreds of people. We thought maybe 100, 150, 250, amazingly good. It was all because of your efforts, your service attitude. You want to share it with others. You went out of your way. We all know. Do you agree? It was because of them, right? So you are already doing service. In that mood, you are trying to share with others. How many of you are chanting? Who is giving trial? Very good. Very good. Okay, those who are trying, those who are chanting, I want to honestly ask questions. Do you feel there is an iota of difference in your life or no? Vijay Prabhu says yes. Anybody? Soumya, is there life? I can tell because few months ago we were discussing something and somebody said something. She said, no, I can tell you my life is different now. And I was like, wow. Yes. Anybody else? Okay, I should ask the reverse way. Anybody else feeling like this, that they've started chanting, taking this process little seriously and has got no damn difference in your life? Your life is still the same. Anybody feel like that? I should ask the reverse way, right? Because then life makes much easier. Right? It cannot be. Because Lord's name, even taken jokingly, even when you have seen, like in India, if a person with tilak goes, they will say, Hare Krishna. Choti wala. They make fun of you also. But even if somebody is making fun of you, but that time if they take the Lord's name, that person gets benefited. And that is the beauty of this Lord's name. And that's why I'm requesting you with my folded hands. Please, give it a trial. No loss. You are not going to lose anything. After 3 months, others have already found benefit. We are doing for years. Are you benefited, Suruchi? Suruchi is increasing one round every month. So sincerely. So, all of you are, those who are experiencing difference, it itself will make you feel, go ahead. Those who are not trying, those who have not tried, please try it for 3 months. Try, after 3 months, if you feel you are still on the other side of the table, no damn difference in your life, leave it. What have you lost it? But if it makes difference in your life, then you are at least taking right decision now. Otherwise, at the end of the day, in the water with crocodiles around. Right? Thank you very much. If there is any question, comment, all welcome. Anybody want to share their experience? Yes, Vivek Prabhu.
No, I wanted to ask, who was that devotee that Govardhan name?
His name was Govardhan.
But, miss. He now was. In what name is famous in North India?
Govardhan only. His name is still Govardhan only. You go to North India, you ask this story, especially if you ask in Madhura Vrindavan area, people know this real fast time.
He was very sincere, but he had only one thing in his mind, to get, to loot, to steal. Then still the Lord was, his aim was materialistic, even though he was so sincere. Then
how he has got the benefit, right? Or how can you get benefit? This is again the mercy of the Lord. When we do activities, we have two things. One is the activity and the result, and second is action, and second is the intention behind an action. Many times, out of force, we do some activities right, but intentions are, iska to lagna chahiye barabar se andar se. We tell something nice or we feel somebody, But in our heart, we are not happy with that person. Our intentions are bad. Does it happen or no? Am I talking something in air? It's practical, right? Sometimes we have real good intentions for somebody, but we are not able to act on it. Simple example. You all know Tumpa Mataji and Nimai Prabhu, right? At this moment, Tumpa Mataji has got chicken pox. She is there at home. Since 4 days, my mind is completely... If at least I can go and see her, and at least I can cook something for her and take some prasadam for her. I'm not joking. I'm seriously desiring that. But because of office, because of whatever, I'm not able to do it. My actions, I'm not matching my intentions. Right? But the best part about the Lord is, your action may be right, intention may be wrong. Your intention may be right, action may be wrong. He takes whatever is good. I'll give you an example from scriptures to support it. Okay? You all know Bali Maharaj. Right? Bali Maharaj was the king of demons. Right? And he, when he was doing charity, he had won over, we all know that he had won over everything. The demigods were thrown out of their planet. And then they approached the Lord. Lord came in the form of a Vaman Deva, a small dwarf. Right? And he came in front of the Lord. Now, Bali Maharaj, whose spiritual teacher was
Shukracharya.
He had told him that tomorrow Vishnu is going to come to you and snatch away everything from you. So be aware. And when Vaman Dev came, looking at him, he realized that this person is Lord Vishnu. And he knew his intentions because his spiritual master had told him that he is going to take away everything from you. So be aware. That day he was in the mood of charity. He had told whatever, whoever comes, I will give charity. So when Lord Vishnu came in the form of a small dwarf, he came as a Brahmana, begging for alms from a king. So externally, the king is giving, right? He did not pay obeisances to God because he had come in a hidden form as a dwarf. But in his heart, he says that I know in my heart that you are Lord Vishnu and I want to pay my dandavats or I want to offer my obeisances to you. But because I am in the position of a king and you have come as a dwarf, I am not able to do because the etiquettes do not allow me. Okay? At the end of the whole pastime, what happened, Lord took away everything from him. He was pushed down to the Patal Loka. But then what happened? The Lord became the doorkeeper of Patal Loka for Bali Maharaj. He left his heavenly abode, Vishnu Loka, and he came as a servant of his devotee. Because he had right intention, but the action couldn't be right. He couldn't act on it, but he had good intention to offer his dandavat and everything to the Lord. Opposite to that, we all know about Putana, right? Putana came, she was a demoness. She came to kill Krishna. She had applied poison on her breast and she wanted to feed this baby so that she is dead. Her intentions were wrong. But how did she come? She disguised herself in the form of a mother. A very beautiful gopi, and she came as if she has motherly love for Krishna. She wanted to feed Krishna. So her intentions were absolutely malicious, but her action was very good. Krishna took her action, and when he took away her life, all the demons, they get liberation. They merge into Krishna and Brahmajyoti. But this is the only demon who got liberation, and she went as a personal servant in spiritual world. Because her intentions were like a mother. So this is the actions, yeah, actions. So this is the beauty of the Lord. He is so merciful. He just wants to give all mercy. Good intention, take it. Bad action, no mind. Wrong action, but good. Wrong intention, but good action. Okay, I will take the good action. That is why he is God. We cannot do that. Somebody does good to us, but intentions are bad. We come to know. But ek do kya? We feel like that. We should give him one. You know how nicely showing on my face that he has good things for me, but in his heart he is so cut. Now we cannot forgive those persons, those who have bad intentions, and they just act nicely to us, right? Lord is that great. He takes whatever is good. That is how Govardhan also got mercy. And that is how we all can get mercy, because we have so many wrongs in our heart, but sometimes we try to be good. God, I am trying to be good. I am doing something for you. Then he will take those actions. And this is what actually I learned. When you know, like when we offer aarti and everything to Lord, it should be offered with love. Now, say, where is my love? No love. I'm just acting as if I have a lot of love for Krishna. Then the solace came to me. At least I'm acting as I have love. Krishna will take that thing. And because of his mercy, one day we will develop love for him. Okay? So he is all merciful. Take it now. Anything else?
What should be the mood of chanting, or what should be desire while you chant?
What should be the mood while chanting, and what should be desire? Very nice question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells us, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhaktir ahit kitvai. I do not want na dhanam, I don't want wealth. Na janam, I don't want followers. Kavitam, I don't want glories or my name to be famous. Kavitam va jagadish kamaye. Kame means desire. I don't have any of this desire. Mama janmani janmanishware. Life after life. Bhavatad bhaktir ahaitukitvai. I just want to be your servant without any expectations. That is what. And he says janmani janmanishware. Life after life. He says I don't want even liberation. So when we chant, our mood should be I want to serve you and your devotees. We pray. The whole mantra, when we say Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, it indicates the meaning of that mantra is, O Hara, the energy of Lord, O Krishna, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Ram, who is the deserver of all pleasure, please engage me in your service. Finally, we want only one thing in life, service. Because service will make us happy. We already talked that service is the only thing which makes us happy.
You said the Lord leaves the spiritual world, so he sacrifices and comes here. Well, it is given in the scriptures that he, when he incarnates, he doesn't actually leave, but incarnation comes from Vishnu. So,
okay.
He doesn't have to leave, right? He just incarnates through.
True it is. It's a very nice question. I would say little bit technical, but very thoughtful of it. When Lord incarnates, he incarnates through Vishnu, who is like a door through which the Lord comes. But Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not incarnation, Lord himself.
But still, Prabhupada has written that even Krishna, when Krishna descends,
he comes with the spiritual world down.
Yeah.
At the same time, this is also what this is. At the same time, it doesn't say Lord is there everywhere, in every atom. So it doesn't mean that when he comes down with the spiritual world, there is no Krishna in the spiritual world. It's not like that. Because he is there everywhere. Now also he is here. Right? So he is there everywhere. Yeah, he just manifests himself. But that is what is the difference, that as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and as Krishna, he comes. Others are incarnation. Krishnastu Swabhagwan Swayam. He comes himself. So these two are the personality of Lord himself. That's why we never say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is incarnation of Lord. No, yeah. He is Lord.
Madhuri, this particular thing is very difficult to understand.
Because that is true, that Lord is there everywhere. In every, it is told by Lord Brahma that we say that Lord is there in every atom. No, he is there in every atom, and he is there in between the two atoms also. That is what he says, Lord Brahma. So there is not a place where Lord is not there. It's just that he manifests and we can see him. So he is always there. Krishna is there everywhere. So he just makes himself, he just comes down to do his pastimes. But when he comes down to do pastimes here, he is here. Kirtan? Okay, thank you very much. Let's do Kirtan for a while. Deepal Prabhu, we want Deepal Prabhu to sing. Deepal Prabhu, you sing, yeah, please.
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Krishna Hare Hare.